you know, people like Pam. Pam's a good friend and a sister to me. We, like I said, we go into prisons and things, and I love that. And I don't want to ever do nothing to burn that bridge. Donnie and I and Marvin, we're in the court together, and we're mentors in the courtroom. I don't ever want to do nothing to burn that bridge. Jose, Vic, we walk the streets at night with a 10-point coalition. I don't ever want to burn that bridge. The mentors in this room that we mentor together here, we're a family. I don't want to ever burn that bridge. But what I want to ask you tonight, is it ever a time to burn a bridge? Is it ever a time to burn a bridge?
Yep.
You're doggone right it is. Yep. See, because I'm going to tell you something. You know what the difference in your lot in life is and your destiny? Your lot in life is where you settle. Mm. That's where you decide to settle at. That's your lot in life. Your destiny is where you could be if you let God keep taking you on where you're supposed to go. Too many times we settle for that lot in life because we don't want to burn those bridges of yesterday. You know, I go to prison, come out, back to the same old haunches, the same old houses, the same old places, the same old relationships. You know, you're talking that mess about, well, that's my guy. I want to go back to him. Wasn't your guy? He didn't think nothing about you when you were out there. Beat on you, all kind of different things. And I know I'm from that old life. But then you go back to the neighborhood, talking about, I'm going to go by and see what Tippy and Little Ray Ray and them doing. You know what Little Tippy and Little Ray Ray were doing. They're doing the same thing you were doing when you was out there. Doing the same thing. But we just can't burn that bridge. Our phone is full of numbers that are no good to us. It means no good. You know what's on the end of that number. But we want to keep holding on. We don't want to burn that bridge and let that bridge go. You know, I tell you, I'm going to tell you a quick story about Elijah. Elisha was out in the middle of the field, plowing the field, out behind these oxen. He was plowing the field. And here comes Elijah. Elijah throws his mantle on him. And when he threw his mantle on him, he realized that was God's calling him. He realized that was God calling him. And so what he said to himself, Elijah said, hey, let me go back and kiss my mom and dad before I go with you. And Elijah said, hey, what is it I've done to you? What is this thing I've done to you? Go back to your life and do what you're going to do. Elisha realized that this was a calling from God. This was a real calling. Elijah took his plow and broke it up, set it on fire. And then he took the oxen and cooked over the fire. He made sure, I'll never come back this way again. Amen. He made sure, I'm taking away everything. Don't give me a chance to walk up behind this old oxen again. He took it away. We want to hold on, and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me too many times. Old relationships that didn't work the first time. You know, when am I keep going back for it didn't work? There's a person that's not here tonight. They used to be in this very room, even called me last night in the same old dead relationship with the guy who choked her the last time she was here. And he came to me and I said, where you at now? What's going on with you? Oh, I'm with a friend. I said, what friend is that? It's the same old guy who choked her on the floor the last time. I said, you know where that led you to. So what is the problem? What is the connection to yesterday that makes you have to keep let those bridges continue to stand? Because if you keep on looking at that bridge, one day you're going to say, I'm well enough. I'm going to walk back across there. See, and then when you, if that's your mindset, I have to wonder if you really ever left that. Well, I preached that a few weeks ago. You had to come out. Have you really even come out? If you left that bridge there, who moves out of a house and keeps the key? You've got to get to a place in your life where that once I've left, I've left. When he didn't go back to what he used to do, he knew what that led to. He knew it, and so he decided to open up a clothing line. You know, there's gifted men and women sitting around this room tonight, but we want to keep ourselves yoked up with people who don't mean us no good, places that don't mean us no good, things that don't mean us no good, because we're confused about what a gift is. I was a dope dealer at one time. I turned to an old dope fiend and a pervert. That was my lifestyle, a thief and all those things. That was my lifestyle before I got saved. went to prison. Now, if I came out of the prison doors and there was some girl standing there waiting on me in a pair of high heels and a clinging dress, looking good with her hair back and 2 ounces of cocaine, talking about, hey, baby, I'm helping you get on. Is that a gift? Is that a gift? It's not a gift, it's a trap. Anybody out there in this world, whether it be my brother, whether it be my mama, that is okay with me taking another hit of dope, don't mean nothing about, don't care nothing about me. Because every time I use dope, I go to prison because I turn into an animal of some kind.
Yep.
So if you're okay with me using dope, then you don't care nothing about me.
Come on.
So I got to also, so even if I got to walk away from them people. See, because there's people in my life that I've been running with 49, 50 years. And I just realized last week, one of my, you know what? This is a going nowhere institution. I got to leave this alone. I got to burn because he kept getting me to the place where I wanted to put my hands on him. See, because I was a physical person and even saved and sanctified. I've been clean almost 8 years now. But it's still, he's getting me something I want to put my hands on him. I pulled over in the car one time, man, and looked at him. And I finally told him, I tell you what, brother, you need to go. I said, you need to go. Don't ever call my house ever again. You know what? He used to walk with us to the 10-point coalition. I said, hey, I'm going to need that vest. See, because whatever it takes. It's whatever it takes for me to be whole is what I'm looking for. I got to burn those bridges that don't mean nothing to me. We got to let them, you know, it's like living on the corner of a street called Over and Over. How many people lived on that corner of Over and Over? Same old thing. Just lived on that corner over and over. Same old thing. New Year, same thing. And then when that starts to come, then you go back into the court with the news. You know, I sat there with a mentor in the courthouse. And I listen to the stories day in and day out. And I tell myself, now, where have I heard that story?
Amen.
Where have I heard that story? Where have I heard that line? That I realize, oh, yeah, out of my very own mouth. The same stories. I'm thinking, why do I need to hold on to that foolishness? Let me read something out of the Bible. I got to go into the Word. It says, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 14. 6 and 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So why are you hanging out? Why are you hanging out? Why are you going to move in there? Well, I'm going to go there because that's the only place I got. I'll go to the mission first.
Amen.
I'll go to the halfway house. You know what? When I got saved and got tired, I would have sat in jail till there was somewhere to go rather than go back there. Because I had a made up mind. God had changed my heart. I wasn't going back. Didn't matter. So I got a place for you. You got a place for me. You let that go. I'm not coming back there for nothing. I'll sit there in the bullpen and wait for whatever it takes. Because that's when I finally got to a place where God had broke my heart enough that I had got to a place of gratefulness. I was grateful. I no longer had to travel those streets in the middle of the night trying to find just one more. I was grateful that I was not sitting in those dope houses at night again, scared to death. See, because people thought I was a tough guy. I wasn't no tough guy. When I was on that dope, I was a coward. I sat in them dope houses scared to leave and scared to stay. Always sitting there looking crazy, not knowing what to do. If I stay here, they're going to kick the door in and come and get me because I done robbed somebody. If I leave, they're waiting outside behind the bushes. I know I'm the only one like that. I know I'm the only one that's been through that. Yeah, you see, but when God changed my heart, I mean, they said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, I became grateful. You know, they used to talk about the jailhouse food all the time. And I got to the point when I got saved, I became grateful. They said, hey, what's with y'all? I said, my favorite. What's your favorite? I said, anything they shove out that window. Because it no longer mattered. It no longer mattered. All I knew is I wasn't going back there. All I knew was that this wasn't going back there. It said, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, who's the devil? Or what part hath that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is an unbeliever. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Is he your God? Is he your God? So I had to get to a place in my life where he was really my God and not something I would say to appease people. See, because I'm going to tell you something. I talked about it a lot. I was one of those jailhouse preachers and preached about it a lot, but I wasn't living a nickel worth of nothing. And it showed. It didn't take long for people to see through me. But when a God came in my life real and I got saved, when I really got saved, I began to do business. I asked myself, what could make me go back to yesterday? So I've joined a club called No Matter What. No matter what happens, I'm not getting high. If my mama, who I love very much, and she's out there in the assisted living place, I go see her and I go take communion to her every month. If she passes on tonight, I'm not getting high.
Amen.
If the woman I call myself in love with decides I might get home tonight, she got a Dear John letter sitting in my mailbox saying she's gone. She's just gone. I'm not getting high. I'm not going to say it's not going to hurt. I'm not saying that I'm not a human being, that I don't have feelings, but that's not going to take my life. I look back at Lot's wife. Now, this is something that I didn't even realize till I studied a lot. So I'm one of those people who get by myself and I study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So for years, I never knew this, and I read this story a bunch. I wonder what made Lot's wife look back. Her daughters are in front of her. Her husband is in front of her, or wherever. They are all together. The promise of delivery is in front of her. What made her look back? And then I began to read. And I read it now, if you want me to show it to you. In the word, I realized it says that Lot had more than two daughters. I didn't know that. It said he had his daughter with him. He said he went and talked to his son-in-laws who were married to his daughters. The daughter in the house, one of them I know for sure was a virgin because Lot offered her up. Lot told the men of the Sodom when he came to the door, hey, I got a daughter here that's never known a man. Take her. Don't take these men. But then he says to the next verse, I went and talked to the son-in-laws, to the daughter who were married with his daughters. So I'm sure she's looking back for her kids. It began to make sense. She's looking back for her kids. But let me tell you something. I got a son I love very much. I got pictures of my phone. He looks just like me. He's bigger than me. He got that big old muscle. He looks just like me. If he don't decide to go, I'm not going back to get him. That don't mean I don't love him. I'm not trading. I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm not giving up everlasting life. I'm not giving up my salvation for nobody. Because one thing he knows, I live right in front of him today. I live right in front of him today. And I preach the word to him. I tell him what the word is. I study the word. I talk to him. He told me last year, he lived in Baltimore. He called me last year. I was, it was been 2 years ago now or something. I had got hurt in a car accident. And I was on crutches. I was barely on a cane. I was barely making it around. And he called me, wanted $40 to go to the movies. You know, which is no big thing. $40 is no big money. So I began to talk to him about something. So he called me back a couple of days later, wanted $40 more or $25 or something. Now I'm thinking to myself, hold on. You my son, my only son. That's true enough. You live 800 miles away. Been working the same job forever. You hang around with the same girl you say you love. You got your brothers and everything out there. Why would you need to call 800 or 800 miles away for $25? That's something not right. See, I got a circle. See, I got a circle of people I can call today. Right now, I say, look, brother, I need $25 because something's going on. God put me to a place I don't have to call them, but I could. Why would I need to call New York to get $25? So anyway, come one day and I was at work and I was driving. I said, man, look, dude, what's really going on out here? So he gets mad about it. I told him, I tell you what. I said, man, I don't got no $40 for you to go to the movies. I can't do it. He hangs up. He called me back. He says, well, just send me $25. You know, stubborn. I wonder where he got that from. Yeah. So I look at it from back. You know what I'm thinking? I'm frustrated now. But I think I'm going to send this knucklehead this last $25. And I said, look, I'm at work right now. You got to wait till I get off work. He told me, well, look, you can't send it. Don't worry about it. Don't call me no more. You ain't my dad. I see you on the other side. I said, okay, bye. And I kept driving. You know what? And had he never ever called back, you know what? I'd have seen him on the other side.
Yeah.
If he'd have made it. See, because I'm not getting ready to yoke myself up with somebody who don't choose to go nowhere. If you burn this bridge, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. You guys, the word says any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. Said he's not fit for the kingdom of God. A lot of us, this ain't our first time in the halfway houses or in prison or something like that, those things. That we've made decision after decision to continue to hold on to yesterday. We just want to hold on and not go back and let those bridges be gone. We got to get to the point like Elijah. I love that when he burned it up. He said, I'll make sure there's no way I can get back to this thing. We sit around and we get on Facebook. We get on Facebook and look up those people. You know what I'm talking about? We get at night and look up those people who we are, and we tell a lie. I'm gonna tell you something. And see, I gotta be honest. I was home the other night, and see, I never was one of the people who went to a strip club. I didn't believe in that because I'm not giving my money to some woman that she's gonna give somebody else. If I'm gonna give my money to you, you coming with me. That's the way I thought back then. You know, forgive me. But that was my thought back then. I'm not getting rid of like that. And so I never believed in that pornography. I needed somebody I could talk to. So I never did. The other night, I was laying there, my phone dinged. And somebody sent me a pornography thing. I looked at it for a minute. 15 minutes later, I was still looking at it. Listen. I'm talking about saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to put that thing down and call somebody. You know what I did? I plugged my phone up in the living room and I went in the bedroom. See, because I would refuse to let that thing tip me back to being the person I used to be. See, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a virgin by no stretch of the imagination, but since I've been saved, I haven't laid with a woman. And I can say that because we're all adults in here. Because I promised God, I said, God, you bring me a wife. You bring me a God-fearing woman to walk beside me. You bring me somebody that can get a prayer through for me when I can't get a prayer through for myself. You bring me somebody that will look me in the eye and tell me the truth even when I don't want to hear it. I said, but before you bring her to me, Lord, make me a husband. Teach me how to take care of somebody outside of me. Teach me how to be responsible. Teach me how to be accountable. Teach me how to be faithful. See, because I didn't know those things. The world I came from, none of that mattered. It was about collecting notches and trophies where I came from. It was about just feeling good for the moment where I came from. And from that day to this, I haven't laid with one. I've been celibate. God has kept me. Now, I prayed to him. I said, Lord, you know I'm not a virgin. I said, but make me as pure as I can be to my wife when you do give it to me. Amen. See, because you've got, yeah. That may mean nothing to nobody, but I know what my life was. And so I was not going to allow that phone to tempt me. I set that phone in a whole other room. See, I do what I have to do. See, I don't mind calling and telling somebody what I'm thinking. Because sometimes I had the dumbest thoughts in the world. And I call somebody and say, you know what I was just thinking? You know, I don't mind telling on myself because the word says where the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. But we sit around these rooms and we pretend like ain't nothing wrong. Don't you know in 2 months we see what's wrong? Don't you know in 3 months we see what's wrong? Don't you know in 6 months we're going to see what's wrong? So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell what's wrong with me. Why would I go to the doctor's office and have a headache? He said, what's wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm cool. And I'm going to leave the doctor's office with the same headache. But I'm going to come back to the doctor next week. He said, what's the matter, Mr. Kelso? Nothing wrong with me. 6 months later, I'm about to die from migraines. And I ain't told him nothing. Not going to let that happen to me. We call it in another fellowship I belong to, they call it being fatally cool and terminally hip. We too cool to let somebody know something wrong, that we still caught up in the different things. But I just want to get to this. We got to get to the point where we got to burn those bridges. Quit looking back. Quit going to your brother's house. You know what your brother's doing. The word said, who is my brother? When they were knocking on the door and they told Jesus, hey, your mother and brother and sister are outside. Jesus said, who is my mother and my brother and my sisters? But those doing the will of my father. He said, come out from among them. Be ye separated. But we don't want to do that because we have this unnatural alliance or allegiance to things that don't mean nothing. Yeah, I used to belong to the Black Gangster Disciple. I'm still branded. All right. And it's been, since I throw these forks in there like that, since I put my star in there like that, it's been years. And I refuse to salute. I refuse to salute because I'm not going back. And I see some of those brothers who were in gunfights with me, who saved my life back then, who I would stand by with anything, but I refuse to stand by them and call myself a black gangster disciple ever again in my life. They still, some of them, we don't run together, but I remember what they did, and I have love for them for what they did for me. But you want to stay back there, you got to stay back there. I can't go back. There's a song that says, I can't go back, I won't go back to the way I used to be. And that's what we have to get in our hearts and our minds. It's not about playing no game. It's not about pretending. Why you want to fool me? I can't do nothing for you. Why you want to fool Marvin? Yeah, why you want to fool anybody? Why you want to fool the judge? I told you a story about me. I got off this house arrest years ago. I was on that old mess, and I got off of it because I didn't understand what it really was. I got off of it, and all them little phone numbers I had saved, all that stuff I had saved, I had just had a car accident. Somebody hit my car while I was at work, and my car was at home, and they sent me a check for $1,900-something, and I was working construction. I was making 20-something bucks an hour, so that day I got off house arrest, I had a nice little chunk. Had a nice little chunk in my hand. Now a real man would have went on to the bank and did what he's supposed to do, because that's what I showed the judge I was going to do. See, that's what I showed all the counselors I was going to do. That was the game I played in front of everybody in my little rooms when I talked like I was the mayor or something, and I was talking like everything was going on. I wanted to act like I was going to make it. I went straight to this girl's house. 3 days later, man, I didn't have a dime. Yeah. Didn't have a dime. She got more money than me, but I call myself a player. Yeah. I mean, I'm just keeping it real. And here's the sad news. Here's the sad news, and here's the hope shot. The sad news is somebody in this room is going to play themselves that same way.
Come on.
Somebody in this room is going to, after hearing the message, is going to play themselves the same way, because you're smarter than Lyle. You're stronger than Lyle. You're not as stupid as Lyle. So you ain't going to play yourself that way. And when you're gonna sit there looking all wobble-eyed like me, and out there in the cold, looking on the ground, seeing it, hoping you'd drop one or something, and head on home, and you can remember, well, Lyle said that. But here's the hope shot. Here's the hope shot. It don't have to be you. Here's the hope shot. You know what? Because one day it wasn't me no more. One day it wasn't me. I'm welcome in my mother and father's house. My father's gone, bless his soul, but I'm welcome. I got keys to the house. I got keys to the church. Same church I stole from. I got keys to the church. I'm the pastor's armor bearer. When the pastor goes up, I carry his stuff for him, and I go before him. I'm proud to go before him. When he goes to war, I'm proud to go before him. Because I'm not the same old Lyle no more. See, and I refuse to let somebody hold me hostage with that. You got to get there. You got to get there no matter what nobody's saying. They're not going to hold you hostage with that. Yeah, you may have did that, but you don't got to do it again. It don't have to be you no more.
Amen.
You can't shame me with what I did. You know why you can't shame me with what I did? Because you don't even know all that I did. Only God and I know my whole story. And it was an ugly story. But God kept me for a reason. And if I didn't, see, you can't even lie on me, because that don't even matter. You know why? Because if you said I did it and I didn't do it, the only reason I didn't do it is because I didn't think about it. Because when I was on a dope binge, everything was fair game to me. Everything and everybody was fair game to me. I became an opportunist with eyes this big. I could see in the dark. Whatever. That's the only reason. So why would I be offended because you say something about me?
Amen.
Don't care nothing about that. There's a girl, I'm going to say this, that I'm going to sit down. There's a girl hit me on Facebook, or one of 2 weeks, been about a year or so ago now, whatever it was, and she asked me, could I get her some Percocets? I looked at the thing, huh? You talking to me? Talking to the old preacher? Said, can I get some? No, I ain't never dealt with no Percocets. I was a crackhead. I never dealt with a Percocet. Now, I dealt with this girl before, because she used to be kind of cute. But anyway, I dealt with I tell you the thing, I said, hey, I don't live like that no more. Oh, well, you just did this and this, because you got something for me before. And I told her, she said, well, no, you missing the boat somewhere. And then now I got a sister that's the pastor at the Karis house. That's my big sister, Eunice. Sister Eunice is my big sister. And anyway, the girl was in the Karis house. And that's going to be what Parker says. So I called my big sister. Yeah, I say, check it out. I say, there's a problem. She said, what's going on? I said, I don't want you to get this person in no trouble, Eunice. I said, this isn't what this is about. But I'm a minister. I'm a man of God. I can't be watching you ready to hurt yourself and not try to save you. I can't do it. So I told her, I said, hey, someone from there just called me, wanted me to get them some Percocets. I said, one thing, I haven't dealt with this girl in 10 years. I said, second off, I've never dealt with Percocets. I said, if she's calling me, that means she's already called the whole circle. You know what I'm saying? Why would you? She's reaching. I said, what y'all doing is not working to deal with her. So the girl got mad at me and called me off because my sister wouldn't talk with her. You know, she didn't get into trouble, but she was still going to talk to her dad and put little parameters on her, which in our mind, in our sick, dope way of thinking, parameters are punishment. No, they're training wheels to keep you on the road right. They're training wheels to keep you in life is all it is. And so the girl may have called me all kind of names and stuff, so that went on by. A year later, I'm mentored in the court, and she sent me another text, another thing on this, because I don't got my phone number, on the Facebook. Can you get me some hard? Well, hard is cocaine, crack, for people who don't know what that is. And I'm thinking, why is she calling me with this? Now, she's no longer in that house, so I don't even reply to the text. As luck would have it, I go to the gas station, about a week later, not far from my house. And she's at that gas station. Now, she's trying to proposition me sexually, offer me all the things that I like. For this, for that, like, just give me a 20 and I'll do this. I know what you like. And I told her, hey, what don't you understand? I don't live that way anymore. I don't do that. I'm God's preacher. That woman called me every name in the book. She said, you ain't God's preacher. You ain't no preacher. You this and that. Boy, you that. She went all up the road. So I didn't even go in the gas station. I just started driving off. She runs up behind my car across the gas station. I heard about the gas station. So look here. I'm at home at my brother's house. I'm back in the bedroom watching TV. And my baby sister. Now, my baby sister has never been in the streets ever. Ever. She writes music and does all kinds of different things. Never been in the streets. She calls me. I said, hey, what's going on? Well, that's surprise here from you. She said, hey, do you know? And she called the girl's name. I said, yeah, but how do you know her? She said, you seen your Facebook page? Oh, I said, no. So I told my Facebook page. I showed it to Donnie and Marvin. Hey, man, she went on the thing. She said everything, called me everything but a child of God. She said everything she thought that would belittle me. But you know what? I closed my phone up and I went inside. My brother called me in the room. Said, man, you see this? I seen it. And I went back. You know what my brother told me? He said, Lyle, you're taking it awful calm. See, this is my baby brother. And I'm glad he saw that. I'm glad he was there. He said, Lyle, you're taking it awful calm. See, because my little brother, no, even saved, I had a 45 automatic under my pillow. Saved, I had a sword hanging by my bed. Saved, I had a taser on my nightstand. Saved, I ain't got it, I don't care now. Saved, I had a pocket knife that could pop out like that there. See, because I wasn't nothing to play with when I got mad. And if you crossed me, everybody was fair game. Old, young, weak. If you're sick and can't run, you shouldn't have messed with me. You should have been in the car. You should have been in the car before you start. Because that was my mentality. See, and I'm not saying that because I was not a tough guy. I'm saying that because that's just my mentality. But my baby brother got a chance to watch his brother act like a man. I said, man, that stuff ain't true, brother. I said, if I was giving her money to do these things, why would she be mad? I said, if I was giving her money, why would she be mad? I said, I don't worry about that, man. That'll go away. And it went away. I'm saying, either you've changed or you haven't. Pretending doesn't get you nothing. Your character will take you places. I mean, your gifts will take you places. Your character can't keep you. So what you got to do is be honest with yourself. You got to burn those bridges from yesterday. No matter what nobody else says about you, it doesn't matter. You got to live for you. You got to let God be the leader of your life. And when things get rough, you got to shoulder to shoulder. The Bible says two are stronger than one, and three of the strands that is easily broken. So I have no problem getting with my brothers. We walk the streets at night and we talk about everything. We walk the streets at night and we look out for each other. If one of us is down, all we got to do is call and the rest of us all come together. It don't matter where it came from, we come together because we're brothers. And that's what you got to get to be. If we're brothers and sisters, we got to get with the kingdom of God and be brothers and sisters. Let the world go. The world has nothing to offer you and they want you back. Amen. The world wants you back. There's people out there who love me. As long as they were able to laugh at me, as long as they were able to look down on me, as long as they were able to throw me their scraps and let me eat up the floor of the scraps that they threw, they was okay with me. But when God elevated my life, see, God took this old dope fiend. See, I go into the attorney general's office and sit. I go into the mayor's office today and sit. I go into to the churches. I sit in the pulpit with the elders and the pastors. It is not because of me; it's because of what God did in my life. God said He would take you into the chief that you sit in the chief courts of the chief doors of the city. It's what God will do, and He'll do the same for you. Yeah. Don't let no devil in hell take you back to yesterday. Remember that. Lot, your lot in life and your destiny are not the same thing. Your lot is what you settle for. And your destiny is where God's trying to take you. Let's pray.